want to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, as was read earlier by Brother Garcia. Luke chapter 2, the focus of the story is obviously the angelic announcement to the shepherds in verses 10 and 11 and 12. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." That was the good news. That was the gospel preached on Christmas Eve. The response to that, Luke tells us the response to that was fourfold. The angels, first of all, in verse 13, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And then later on, the response also from the neighbors that came to attend the actual birth of the child. It says in verse 18, "And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." And then thirdly, Mary, the mother of our Lord, treasured all these things, verse 19, pondering them in her heart. And then finally the shepherds, in verse 20, the shepherds went back doing what? And praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. And so there was a marvelous response, like we this morning here today, responding to the message that was given 2,000 years ago of a Savior that we have and accepted and invited to be our Lord and our Savior. I wanted this morning, just for Christmas morning, focus on one of these responses. In verses 13 and 14, the response of the angels, this multitude of angels that responded also to the message. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." It is conceivable that this angelic praise and this angelic song may have been probably more extended than what it is. But maybe Dr. Luke condensed it. But even in the condensed portion of the song, it is pregnant with wonderful truths and encouraging things for us this morning. It really contains two stanzas. This song has two stanzas to it. And they are parallel stanzas. "Glory to God in the highest" is the first stanza. The second stanza, "And on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." They are identical, three parts to the stanzas, and they fit one another parallel to the T. And they they speak to us today. It's the angelic response to the good news of the Savior. And the response is in two ways. The first stanza is a response of praise. A response of praise. They talk to God. They praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Directing their adoration, their praise to the great, great God. It's an interesting stanza. Because you see, this angelic praise is, first of all, a sudden praise. It says, "And suddenly there appeared." It's as though nobody was expecting this. Not even the angel that was announcing it. Suddenly there appeared. While the city was asleep, while Bethlehem was sound asleep, heaven was wide awake. Suddenly there appeared. I think about the sudden ushering of praise to God. Like when you're watching a football game and all of a sudden something happens. Interception is made and the fellow runs and makes a touchdown and all the stands go wild. That's what I imagine here. Suddenly heaven pours out in praise and adoration to God. Marvelous, marvelous. we also notice that as you look at the text, it says, suddenly with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host. We dare not overlook that. It is not just one or two. It is a host of angels. The word host actually means an army of angels. And the Spanish rendition of this phrase is called, for example, the Lord of hosts is called Jehová de los ejércitos. And as a new believer, I wonder, Jehová de los ejércitos really translates the Lord of the armies. Because you see, the angels really are an army of angels. You know, oftentimes we're prejudiced against angels by, you know, It's a Wonderful Life and Clarence. You know, that is about the sorriest specimen of angel there is, friends. First of all, humans don't become angels. To wipe that one out. And if they did become angels, it would be nothing like Clarence. Okay, that's not the kind you want to have. That is not what we're talking about. They're not like Cupids. Whenever God talks about angels, they are the seraphim, they are the cherubim, they are the angels that even Ezekiel, when he describes them, you know, is a loss for words and how he can describe for us the nature and the character of angels. It is this host, it is this great and vast army that rejoiced at the coming of the Savior. It was only fitting for all of heaven, the entire multitude of heaven, you know, joined in and praising God for this announcement of the coming of the Savior. This celestial celebration, and you know, and it's so they were inviting the world to join them in this celestial choir. And it's fitting for us here this morning to be here, isn't it? For us to be joining them in praising God for all that He has done for us. Amen or not? This is why we're here. And so we see this united praise. We also note that it is the highest of praises. Glory to God in the highest. The focus is upon God, not necessarily upon humanity. It points to the wonderful plan of redemption that was born in heaven. It was God that designed this. It was God that designed this wonderful plan for the redemption of mankind. It was God that would send this Son to be our Savior. He that was to be born, you know, in a manger. The Savior who is Christ the Lord. The glory obviously goes to God. And, you know, when we get to chapter 2, we think the story of the birth of Christ is chapter 2, but it really isn't. It began in chapter 1. And even there, for example, go to chapter 1 of Luke and look at the response of Mary in verse 46. In verse 46, when she, bearing the child in her womb, even she says, and Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Now she was looking toward God and giving God the praise and God the glory and God the honor for all that would be taking place with the birth of this child. Look at verse 68. Later on, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, his response to the announcement of a Savior. In verse 68, "Blessed be who? The Lord God of Israel, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people." Again, the glory goes to whom? The glory goes to God. And the angels then remind us of this event, that it's not about us. It's not about us, it's about God. You know, we have a tendency, and every year that goes by, we have a tendency to take a holy day and make it a holiday. We have a tendency always to secularize this great, great holiday that God has given to us. Let's you and I put the brakes on that continuously. It's not about us, it's about who? About God. Not about us. And if by chance you're here this morning and you're a little bit down because your Christmas tree was rather lean, or your gift was not what it was supposed to be, what you thought, you didn't get that Lexus in the driveway that you were praying for. Well, the little fellow in the movie, he got a fire truck. You notice that? And boy, was he happy. It's a fire truck that you brought in. Remember that? We got that fire truck, and it was in your car. And so you ought to be jumping up and down, because he was jumping up and down. You see, in other words, it's not about us. It's about whom? It's about God. And the angel would say, you know, it's not about us. It's about God. It's not about you, earth. It's about God. Glory to God in the highest. It's about the Lord and the glory that He deserves, because He's the one that ushered in the salvation for us. And so when you go back to Luke 2 and you look at this phrase and you look at this expression, glory to God in the highest, and you see that it's the angel. Now look at verse 13 with me once again. Look at it carefully. It says here, and suddenly there appeared with the angel that came to the shepherds, a multitude of angels, of the heavenly host, praising God. If you were a human being and truly understood the whole plan of God from A to Z, if you were to look at God and His plan, you would see that this is unexpected praise. These would be the last creatures that you would expect for them to be so enthusiastically praising God. They'd be the last of God's creation that you expect them to do this. You see, because salvation is not about them. The Savior didn't come to benefit them at all. It came to benefit who? Us. It came to benefit us. Angels are ministering spirits. Angels are God's servants. They're God's messengers. They do the bidding of God. They are there designed to minister to God and to respond to God. They're messengers of God. The word angel is simply a transliteration of the Greek word angelos. We don't even translate. We just have a transliteration of it, angelos, which means messenger. Simply messengers. They are servants of God. And among the many things they serve us. Not that you and I have a specific angel assigned to us, but they are here. They're all around us. And their job is to minister to us. Their job is to care for us. Their job is to run interference. Their job is to, whatever God wants them to do for us, they do. They're ministering spirits. But salvation is not for them. You know, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, you find this interesting statement made by the Apostle Peter concerning angels, which brings to light this expression by the angelic host. In verse 12 of 1 Peter 1, speaking about the salvation that was given to us, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Note this. Things into which angels what? Long to look. Things into which angels long to look. In other words, they look at salvation, they look at redemption, they look at the blood of Christ, they look at the new birth, they look at a man's redemption and transformation. And for them, it's something foreign. They don't quite comprehend it. Because our Lord Jesus Christ did not come to help angels. The fallen angels are already condemned in their fall. And the other angels don't need. In other words, the gospel, the cross, Christ, the child, was not given to them. It was given to us. So it's unexpected. So why are they all excited? This is the thought. So why are they in an uproar? Why are they so excited? Why are they jubilant? Why are they praising God? When who should be praising God? We should be praising God. We're the ones. One is a sorry human being, isn't it? Be a sorry human being when heaven is throwing this huge, huge celestial celebration, and here we are with duct tape over our mouths. And silent, and no joy in our hearts. And an angel would say, are you guys crazy or what? Are you out of your mind or what? This is for you. We're happy for you. We are thrilled for you. This is the end. They are thrilled for us. And friend, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. It's That's why it's, in essence, it's an unexpected praise. These are the last creatures that you would expect. And yet they're the ones that lead the parade and encourage us and invite us to join in with their celebration. And why shouldn't we celebrate? Oh, the more you know of Christ, the more you know of the redemption, the more you know, this event becomes sweeter and sweeter as it goes along. You know, for some of you, this is your very first Christmas service. We thank God for you. You know, just it's going to get, as a guy from East LA says, it's going to get gooder and gooder as the days go on, you know. It's going to get better and better as on. Because you're going to understand the sweetness. Angels are stooping down to look into this thing, to contemplate. How could they not? How could they not be thrilled with that? Now look at the stanza with me again, verse 14. There's a second part to the stanza that I want to bring to our attention on this glorious, glorious Christmas morning. And that is the angelic reminder. This multitude reminds us of the effect of what the Savior does. This is the effect of this Bethlehem child. This is what he will do. And on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. The ultimate effect, the result of this child being born in Bethlehem is going to be peace on earth. Peace on earth. That's the ultimate. And that's what he came to give us. And so he points to that. The promise of peace on earth. Someone said recently that we are decreasing in the number of wars and people dying as a result of wars, that in the last six centuries, we have had fewer and fewer wars. Well, you couldn't tell it by the news, right? You couldn't tell it by that. So we must have been really violent six centuries ago if this is peaceful now. Are we in need of peace today? We are. And this is why they came. This is why Christ came. Christ came to give us peace on earth. But don't miss the main emphases. This promise of peace comes to us in different ways. It's expressed to us in different ways. Would you turn to Romans chapter 5? In Romans chapter 5, the apostle reminds us that the peace that Christ came to give us and that the angels talked about, peace on earth, was first of all, the peace that comes in being justified by faith and no longer being at odds and at war with our great God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have, finish it, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This world was at odds with Christ, was with odds against God. We were at war with God. So when the angels announced peace on earth, they really not only, they saw the cross. They saw that this Christ child would come and would be the peace child that would reconcile a holy God and a sinful world and bring peace through the death on the cross for our sins. Therefore, he says, having been justified by faith in the death of Christ, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. And those of us that know Christ, we know what that feels like. Those of us that know Jesus Christ, we know what that feels like to look at God, and God is no longer to be feared. He is to be loved. He is to be reverenced. He is our friend, no longer our enemy. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to give us peace. Later on, you read in Romans 5 and verse 9. Look at Romans 5, 9. And much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult. The word exult means we rejoice. We boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. To know that when Jesus Christ spoke about peace and when the angel spoke about peace, really focusing on our friendship with God, our friendship with God. And friend, we are most privileged this morning, if you know Christ, to know that Christ is your friend and that you walk with him. So when the angel said peace on earth, it wasn't just this peace that secular humanity looking for. Oh, it was even more profound. It was the peace that came by reconciling a holy God and a sinful humanity, by allowing a human being to walk in fellowship with the Almighty God. This is what Christ came to do, that we would enjoy God and enjoy His creation. Go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. And this peace would be ushered out into our daily life, so that not only do we have peace with God, but we have peace in our own hearts, so that we're able to live this kind of life. In Philippians 4, the apostle here brings to our attention. Look at chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians 4 and verse 4. What is the first word there in verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I will say what? Rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the what? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I've been watching the evening news on television, and it's been Channel 4, and they've been doing a series on prayer. Does prayer heal? What does prayer heal? Now, you don't need a television series to tell you that, but it's really good to see that, documenting the fact that prayer does heal. And that somehow, when you know God, when you know Christ, there's a peace that comes over you. A peace that comes over you that even a machine looking at your brain and see how your brain changes. Your brain literally changes when you're in prayer, when the peace of God comes over you. This is what Christ came to give us. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. This morning I opened the computer to print out my notes, and I quickly checked the email, and there was an email from Mexico, a man that I've been working with, and he wrote me an email. I guess it must have been last night. He's so distraught. He says, I don't have any hope. I don't want to live any longer. Oh, friend. And I wrote him back, and I reminded him of all that Christ has done for us. I reminded him about Christmas, what it's all about. It's to give us this peace, so you never lose hope. True or not? Peace with God and the peace that's why the Apostle Paul, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Oh, friend, this is what Christ came. When the angel said, peace on earth, it meant that. Epictetus, which was a Roman sage, said about the Roman Empire, he says, the Roman Empire, its cedars can give us peace from all of our countries, all of our enemies around them. But he says, who is going to give us peace in our hearts? And the angel said, Jesus will. Jesus will. The peace. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. The peace on earth means that at one day there's going to be peace on this planet. That is what's written in the text. There's going to be peace on this earth. Don't be mistaken. There will come a day when Jesus Christ will reign on this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't have peace today. We are still under the very threat of war. We have terrorists. We're back into the Cold War. We have cyber war. We have Ebola and everything else in the process. Friend, we still live under the great threat. But we have the promise of the Lord coming back and being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're reminded by that. The angel reminded us there's going to be peace on this earth. Go back to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, this is what Zacharias was saying. Oh, blessed be the God, the Lord God of Israel. He's visited us and accomplished redemption for us. Look at verse 69. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from of old. Salvation from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, to remember his covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without what? Fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. And you, child, that is you, John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of what? Peace. There is a better day coming, true or not? And it's coming. It's coming. So never lose confidence in that. And the angel said, this is the effect of Christ, peace on earth. Go back to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 14. And on earth peace among men with whom he is what? Listen, you don't want to miss that. He says this peace comes because of God's favor, because of God's favor. Take special note of that angelic explanation. You see, this peace has been given to a world that's undeserving of God's favor. The expression, the on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased, if you have various translations, they kind of go in different directions. The expression is something like this: men whom the divine favor has blessed. That is, men who did not deserve anything, but God chose to reveal and show his pleasure towards them. Men who are the objects of God's good pleasure. Those are those whom God has graciously chosen. The emphasis is, he says, world, I want you to know that God is going to give you peace, not because you deserve it, but because he's so good. God will give you peace, not because you merit it, but because simply God is so gracious and so loving and so caring, and that's what he wanted to do for you. And that's what he did. That's what he did. I mean, think about it. A wonderful gift that God has bestowed upon us. And it's for those that receive this child to think about. You're going to find this baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And if you receive that child, if you make that child the Lord of your life, if he becomes your Christ, the anointed one to forgive you, then the peace of God will be yours. You'll be justified, reconciled, you'll have peace in your hearts, and you'll have ultimate a place with Christ for all eternity. This will be yours. This is the condensed form of the song. And we are so pleased to have angels come and announce this to us. And so this glorious, glorious morning, Christmas morning, lets you and I join this choir of angels and giving God all the glory and all the praise. Would you agree with that? It all belongs to him. And my dear friend, if this Christmas morning finds you in a state where you don't want to be, in a state of depression or darkness, or at a loss, no peace in your heart, may I invite you to let Jesus Christ be your Lord and be your Savior. That you receive this gift that God has given us, gave it to us a long time ago, but that you receive it in your heart and let God change you. And may you feel in your heart the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension when it comes when you put your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It is obvious, my friends, that